1 Kings 3, these are the words of God. Now Solomon made a treaty with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and married Pharaoh's daughter. Then he brought her to the city of David until he had finished building his own house and the house of Yahweh and the wall all around Jerusalem. Meanwhile, the people sacrificed at the high places because there was no house built for the name of Yahweh until those days. And Solomon loved Yahweh, walking in the statutes of his father David, except that he sacrificed and burned incense at the high places. Now the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, Yahweh appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask, what shall I give you?" And Solomon said, "You have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with you. You have continued this great kindness for him. You have given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. Now, O Yahweh, my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David. But I am a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in, and your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours?" The speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said to him, "Because you have asked this thing and have not asked long life for yourself, nor have asked riches for yourself, nor have asked the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice, behold, I have done according to your word. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any like you arise after you. And I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings all your days. So if you walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days." Then Solomon awoke, and indeed it had been a dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh, offered up burnt offerings, offered peace offerings, and made a feast for all his servants. Now two women who were harlots came to the king and stood before him. And one woman said, "O my lord, this woman and I dwell in the same house, and I gave birth while she was in the house. Then it happened the third day after I had given birth that this woman also gave birth. And we were together. No one was with us in the house except the two of us in the house. And this woman's son died in the night because she lay on him. So she arose in the middle of the night and took my son from my side while your maidservant slept, and laid him in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I rose in the morning to nurse my son, there he was dead. But when I had examined him in the morning, indeed he was not my son whom I had borne." Then the other woman said, "No, but the living one is my son, and the dead one is your son." And the first woman said, "No, but the dead one is your son, and the living one is my son." Thus they spoke before the king. And the king said, "The one says, 'This is my son who lives, and your son is the dead one.' And the other one says, 'No, but your son is the dead one, and my son is the living one.' Then the king said, 'Bring me a sword.' So they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, 'Divide the living child in two, and give half to one and half to the other.' Then the woman whose son was living spoke to the king, for she yearned with compassion for her son, and she said, 'O my lord, give her the living child, by no means kill him.' But the other said, 'Let him be neither mine nor yours, divide him.' So the king answered and said, 'Give the first woman the living child, by no means kill him, she is his mother.' And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had rendered, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to administer justice." so far the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. As we come to this passage, one of the first things we see is how complex we are and how ingrained our sin is. Even though the Lord had loved Solomon and given him grace by which Solomon loved the Lord and walked as his father David did in many ways, as verse 3 says, yet Solomon was already committing the sins that would ruin much of his life and indeed bring the kingdom as a whole under the curse of God. He made a treaty with Pharaoh. He married Pharaoh's daughter. And not only that, but it wasn't just the people who were sacrificing in the high places. Solomon sacrificed in the high place. And we know he knew better, because after the Lord appears to him in the vision, he actually goes back to Jerusalem where the ark was, where the tabernacle was, and offers sacrifices at the tabernacle in the way prescribed by God. And yet, Solomon did, by grace, love the Lord and walk in many ways according to the word of God. And so we should not be proud before the Lord or ignorant of the possibility, nay, the reality of our blindness to our own sin. This means we should always be asking God to help us see the ways in which we are walking in ignorance and sin and rebellion without being ungrateful for or disregarding the grace of God that has given us to know and act on much from his word. The mercies of God in Solomon were real mercies. The godly aspects of how he led and what he did were real godliness. And so we should both be asking God to help us that we might be further sanctified, but also thanking God for his goodness and his mercy to us. So there's something to see about ourselves here. There's also something here to see about God, the great patience of God. Now we know that worshiping in the high places is a great sin. We know that making alliances with the world and even marriages with those who are opposed to God's word and God himself is a great sin. And yet we see how patient the Lord is with Solomon. He even appears to him, and note the place that he appears to him. It's at this high place, this great high place, where Solomon had offered these sacrifices. And you see the great patience then of God, the great long-suffering and mercy of God, even towards us who are great sinners. And this gives us not just, or ought to give us not just, an appreciation for the greatness of God's love and patience and forgiveness with us, but how great must be the righteousness of Christ and the sacrifice of Christ, that for his sake the Lord would be patient with sin like this and even kind. Let us also, however, then, not take the fact that the Lord meets us in something or that the Lord blesses us in something as an approval of everything that we are doing, perhaps even in connection with it. There are many people who excuse, for instance, very similarly, wrong kinds of worship because God has come near by his word in the midst of that worship and met them and helped them and worked graciously in them and gave them a good response to him and blessed them. But do we not see God doing that here with Solomon at the high place in Gibeon? And so we must not excuse anything that we do in God's worship on the basis that God has blessed it to us or has done us spiritual good through it. So something about ourselves and something about God. Therefore, we ought to have a regard for others to the same extent or in similar fashion, that when God graciously works in others who are committing some serious theological error or sin, that we don't deny on the one hand, that God is mercifully and graciously working in them, but that we don't fail, on the other hand, to note the sin. And if God has put us in connection with them, to help them with the sin, but to help them with it, imitating our God's patience and mercy and love, not as those who are enemies and despisers, but those who wish, by a love that imitates God's love, to recover our brother from his sin. Isn't it wonderful that in patience, God not only meets Solomon at Gibeon, but when by grace he gives to Solomon to make the proper prayer request, part of the wisdom that God gives him in response to that request is to leave Gibeon and go to Jerusalem and repent. And so we see the mercy of God that gives repentance, that recovers one of his people from his sin. And we should have that same love and desire in recovering one another from our sins. We have often pointed out the spirit in which a Matthew 18 procedure must be followed in order to be a genuinely Matthew 18 procedure. And we see in Solomon himself not just cleverness, which men call wisdom and is a sort of wisdom, but we see justice and compassion. Here is a great king who has a people too many to count, by his own words, but for whom is the case in verses 16 to 28 rendered? Two harlots. It's not just that Solomon exercises wisdom and comes up with the way of differentiating. But I think one of the great things here is that he cares for justice for even the law of the law. Now, I'm not sure whether they had been caught in harlotry. How is it that they were not being executed according to the law? But there is a kindness and a mercy to them that imitates the kindness and mercy of Christ with the woman who was caught in adultery. And you remember there were those who wanted to exact immediately the full penalty of the law. And the Lord Jesus responded in a way that basically communicated, if we exacted the full penalty of the law for all of you, you may have not committed crimes that deserve death from man, but you have committed sins that deserve wrath from God. And so there's something Christ-like in the heart of Solomon here, who is merciful even to the lowest of the low. But I think that whole thing in which the Lord does conform Solomon somewhat there to the Lord Jesus must be seen in the context of verse 28. It's not just the wisdom that Solomon has from the Lord, but the Lord is giving him that thing that he said he would add to him, the honor that he would have. And God used the exercise of that wisdom to give the king honor in the eyes of the people. And so the Lord is showing great mercy, which will make it even worse, sadly. When Solomon comes to the end of his life, the thing that will have mattered the most was not the wisdom that he might be given in verse 12, or the riches and honor that he would be given in verse 13, but the walking in the Lord's ways and keeping his commandments that he ought to have given his life to in verse 14. This is the greatest thing. This is the main thing in the life of a person, a believer, just as Solomon would write at the end of Ecclesiastes after a long life of learning the hard way those lessons. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is man's all. Would that it had been Solomon's all. But by the blessing of the Spirit to make us to see ourselves and the Lord and others rightly, may this be our all, to fear God and to keep his commandments. Let's pray. We thank you, our God, that you have given your Son, our Lord Jesus, not only to be our wise and honored and perfectly godly King, but that you have given to us to have him as our covenant mediator, the one we are joined to by faith, so that his wisdom and honor, and especially his obedience, might be ours through union with him. And since he is united to us who are sinners, even also then his sacrifice and propitiation. And so we praise you, Lord Jesus, for being in perfection, everything of which Solomon was such a good example to us, and for being the solution to everything of which Solomon was a bad example for us. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that by your Spirit, you would apply to us your word, that none of us here would learn by long and hard example, long and hard experience, the lesson that it took Solomon his whole life to learn. But grant that your Spirit would teach our hearts, and that we would live according to your word, by the help of your Spirit, in union with your Son, in whose name we ask it. Amen.